Good morning, everyone.
Thanks. Good to see everyone here. Happy Independence Day. Welcome, everyone. Welcome any visitors we may have. Please stick around and visit, because you got a bunch of people here who love to visit and chit-chat when we're done. So thanks for everyone joining online. Please bow with me. Let's begin with a prayer. Thank you, Father, for your amazing and unfailing love for us. Thank you for this day, and thank you for this body of believers who are with us today here in the building and also joining us online. Thank you for the leadership in this church and all who contribute, whether it be their talent, their time, writing and sending cards, moral support, or prayer. We are thankful to you for everyone you inspire here today. We celebrate independence and freedom in this great land of ours that you so graciously provided for us. We are thankful for that freedom, Father. Freedom to gather and worship you without persecution as believers face in other countries. The freedom to carry, read, and share your word, to share your gospel and your gift of salvation. We are in a time, Father, where these freedoms are under attack and are becoming more and more limited. I pray for our faith to be unwavering and our courage to be fearless to stand and defend these freedoms with confidence and in love. To use our words wisely and speak with your authority. As a country, we have fallen away, and it is so apparent in today's culture. We have many examples of this in your word, Father, but we also have hope that we are not too far gone. We have hope for revival by you using each and every one of us believers in this country to stand with one another, not only in prayer, but in action. Help us to be the men and women of God, that when people see us, they see the Bible, because for a lot of them, it's the only one they will ever read. Give us vigor to continue to study your word, Father, so that when people do see us, it's not just the cover, but the words in between. All the wisdom we need is in there. As we celebrate our freedom in this country, we are most thankful for our freedom in your Son, Jesus Christ. He not only came to proclaim freedom, he is the one who sets us free to be free indeed. Not the freedom to do what we want to do, but to do what we ought to do. To walk in a relationship with God and to be the kind of people he created us to be and to choose his will for our lives. Sin in our lives can and will steal this freedom from us. Help us to keep our eyes on the narrow gate, Father, to be driven and focused by eternity and to celebrate this freedom daily. Father, I pray with your spirit you inspire each individual here today and for them to carry that inspiration with them back to their homes, their vehicles on the road, the workplaces, and even the grocery store. We need your spirit wherever we go, so when the world attacks us, your spirit is what comes out of us. You've done your part, Father. You sent your Son to save us all. With help and guidance of your spirit, help us, inspire us to do ours. I pray you continue to bless and inspire Russell as he delivers your message. Bless and inspire Kendall as he delivers songs of praise. I pray for healing in this congregation for everyone who needs it, physically and spiritually. God, may you bless this country, bless our freedom, bless our servicemen and women, our leadership on every level, from town, city, country, and state. Thank you so much for your sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave us the greatest freedom of all. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on made clean by Jesus.
Okay, today's scripture is from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Bobby Bowden is a name you might be familiar with. He was a famous college football coach for the Florida Seminoles, led them to championships, and had a personality that a lot of people would like to listen to him in interviews, and they often recorded him on the sidelines as he did his coaching job. He even wrote a book called Called to Coach, and relates this story in the book, and also it's something that you've been represented before about him and his teammates and his teams that he would relate about experiences he had with teammates in other sports. And he relates a story when he was playing college baseball that he was the only person on the team that had not hit a home run. And he was up to bat, the pitcher threw him the pitch, and he hit a line drive out into the outfield, and he began to run, and realizing that it hit the wall and bounced off, he was told by the coach to keep running. And so he rounded second, the third base coach told him, "Keep running, run for home, but hurry." And so as he turned the corner, he knew that that ball was coming in, and he collided with the catcher and was called safe. His team ran out, his first home run, everybody was excited. And then the first baseman called for the ball, the catcher threw him the ball, and they called him out. He had made a home run, but he missed first base. He didn't step on it. Have you seen that happen in some games where somebody misses a bag and has to run back But he would tell his teams, it doesn't matter if you make it home, if you don't touch first base. If you don't touch first base, nothing else really matters. And he would relate to them that the most important thing in their life was God. But first base. You can't miss first base. And we're in a series now about cross culture. And last week we looked at Jesus is the one who lays that foundation. Because when he went to the cross, he gave up his will. He gave up his life. And he gave up his comfort. And we looked at that last week. He gave up. And he calls us to give up our comfort and our lives and our will. And if you pay attention to commercials on TV right now, the world is sending a different message. You know, choice has become God in the word of F. Flagard Smith. And if you look at some of the, I saw a commercial last week that what our world is telling us is be yourself. Just be yourself. If I start looking through this Bible, I see a lot of things I'm supposed to do with myself. Deny yourself. Control yourself. Give up yourself. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. But just be yourself? Cross culture is about us listening to God about what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do with ourselves. It's a message we need, and it's a message that the world needs. And this morning, we're going to look at the aftermath of the crucifixion. Jesus is taken down off the cross, and he's laid in a tomb. And it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And we're going to look at three responses that Jesus, while he's back, tries to take his disciples from where they are, which is in hiding, and he tries to bring them to a new place. He's going to take them from zero as far as their fear is concerned, as far as their regret is concerned, as far as their uncertainty is concerned, as far as their doubt is concerned. He's taken them from a place where they don't need to be, and he's going to take them somewhere they need to be. And we're going to look at those three places like bases. These are three responses, three bases he wants us to get to. He wants us to not to hide. He wants us to conquer. He wants us not to hide. He wants us to go. And he doesn't want us to hide. He wants us to rejoice openly. Not in hiding, but in front of the world. That's what we're going to look at this morning. So we're going to be in several different texts, which is a little different because I'm usually in just one expository place. But we're approaching this a little differently, so work with me. And three responses of cross-cultural followers. If you're going to be a Christian, you don't get to pick and choose, like in the Luby's cafeteria line, what you want on your plate. You need to take what God says. And he's saying, this is first base, second base, third base. Touch every single base. All these things are important. You can't pick one and not the other. Let's take a look. First of all, don't hide, conquer. The text that Tony read says that they were hiding with the door shut. They were afraid. There's a lot of places where they're at that Jesus, he comes back and he's going to spend 40 days getting them to a point. Then he's going to ascend into heaven. 10 days will pass and Pentecost will come. He's going to spend that time with them because they're not where they need to be cross-cultural Christians in the world that's coming. How are they going to stand up against all the ridicule and persecution in the future. Jesus has got to take them from where they are to a better place. And one of the things he has to do is get them to conquer their fear, conquer their doubts, conquer their uncertainties, conquer their regret, and move them from where they are to a higher place. And how does he do that? He raises from the dead. They come to the tomb in the morning. They don't know what to expect. Mary, or there's this whole thing where she thinks he's the gardener and then finds out different, but the stone is rolled away. And then his disciples get in a foot race and they come to the tomb in John and they see. And it's interesting because the word for, there's Greek is a very specific language. English is not. Okay, we love tacos, clothes, cars, each other. We use one word for lots of things, right? And if you look in John, there's three words for saw. And sometimes it's something you notice, and then it's something you look more intently at. But it's very specific about what's going on. And when they come and they see the grave clothes neatly there, and there's a piece that they put over the head that's now folded. And some of you moms might be thinking, see, Jesus, he was neat and he folded his stuff. So you kids need to fold your stuff, okay? Don't get stuck there. Stay with me. None of you were going to do that? Sorry, kids. Anyway, be like Jesus, fold your clothes. I'm just kidding. I don't want you to get stuck there. They see and they believe. Some of them are still going to doubt. But the experiences of everything that happens from the road to Emmaus to when Jesus comes in and says, peace, and he shows them and he takes them through these things to get them not to fear anymore, but to have faith. And not to doubt, but to believe. And then we have Thomas who says, unless I see it and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it. And then 8 days go by. Can you imagine what the other disciples were going through? For 8 days, he's saying, I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. And as the days go by, he's going to be getting more pessimistic and more confident in what he doesn't believe. Jesus, all this stuff is happening so Jesus can work in them to willing to act according to his purpose. So they will be doing what they need to do as the church begins. And as they try to fulfill the purposes that Jesus has for them. The message for us is, sometimes there's things that are there in us that need to be conquered. And we've gotten to a point where some people say, well, I'm just a worrier. That's just the way I am. I'm just gossipy. That's just the way I am. I'm just kind of a doubter. That's just the way I am. Jesus is going to show us, you don't need to be here, you need to be over here. And he takes them. Part of being a Christian is conquering the things that affect you negatively and make sure you get to a higher plane. If somebody comes to me and says, well, I just don't understand what this scripture says, and we study it and study it and study it, and 10 years later they still look at it and say, I don't understand what it says, something's wrong, right? Conquer your ignorance. Conquer your prejudice. Conquer whatever you've got that's not good, conquer it. Because that's what Jesus calls us to. That's what he shows us over and over again in these different scenarios as he reveals himself to them so that they will become confident that he is the Lord. Because then he's going to tell them, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. I want you to do this. He's got to get them to the level that they can handle it. And so he appears before Thomas. Thomas touches and sees and believes that he is the risen Lord. And Jesus says, blessed are you, you've seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. He's talking about us. And then some of them are in Galilee. They're waiting where Jesus has told them to wait. Time is rolling on. They're beginning to kind of wonder what's going to happen. And Peter says, let's go fishing. I'm going to go fishing. The others said, well, we're going to go with you. And what was it like to fish in that time? They're in a boat, 7.5 feet wide, 27 feet long. They fish at night because if you're going to have fresh fish in the morning, you got to fish late into the night. So they're out there on the lake and they got torches. And often the fish will see the light. They'll be attracted to it. But they're fishing and there's no luck. Nothing happens. And then there's some figure on the seashore. Jesus is resurrected. They don't really know who it is, but he tells them, put the nets from the left to the right. 7.5 feet. Does that make a lot of sense? I mean, if you're fishing over here, what's 7.5 feet difference going to make? Normally, maybe not much. But Jesus is doing something to remind them of God's power. When you can't, Jesus can. He reminds them of that. So they throw the nets over and they catch so much they barely can haul it in. And then they're with Jesus. And He's removing their doubts. He's removing their fears. He's taking them from where they are to the right place. But they're still Peter. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. His head's down. His heart's broken. He regrets what he did, and he can't get past it. You ever been there? You ever felt so guilty about a sin in your life that you've wondered, can God even forgive me? That's where Peter was. Deep regret. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Do you phileo me? Or do you have this family love for me? You know I do. Feed my lambs. And you got all this word plays, and then finally says, do you agape me? And he says, you know I do. And so he takes him through this session to get him from regret to a right place in his relationship with Jesus so he can move on. Because if Jesus is going to get him to stand up on the day of Pentecost and be the person he's going to be, he's got to take him from where he's at to a higher place. And they go through this, and he comes away confident and even gives him a promise. You're not going to die till you get old, till you need help being led. And basically, Peter, they do what they want to do, but nothing's going to stop you. He was doing things to boost his confidence so he could conquer his regret. Wherever you are, where you're not supposed to be, Jesus wants to get you to a higher place. Isn't that good news? Jesus is always wanting you to be a better you, a better husband, a better mother, a better employee, a better whatever. He wants you, better preacher. He wants us to be better. And we all get to places where we are not where we need to be spiritually. And He wants us to conquer the thing that's pushing us down, and He wants us to get to a higher level. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus doesn't just call you to save you. He calls you to be the very best you can be. Fat thumb. I accidentally hit that. Are we conquering the things that are troubling us? The things that need to go away. Last night, Ava had the hiccups. It's my granddaughter. And I said, you know what will make the hiccups go away? And she said, well, I said, pickle juice. It's one of my nicknames for her. Anyway, she said, no, you need to scare me. And I said, boo. And she hiccuped. And she goes, you need to scare me. And I said, boo. And her hiccups, I said, you need to drink some pickle juice. And she looked at me with eyes like, Okay, he's already lost it. And it wasn't dill pickle juice, okay? It's bread and butter pickle juice. So at least it's sweet, right? It always works for me. So she drank a little bit, and I said, and she hiccuped. And I said, you got to drink a little more, and you got to hold your breath after you swallow. And she did it, and guess what? Hiccups went away. Might be psychological, I don't know. But my grandmother told me, drink pickle juice, right? It seems to work. If you have other facts, you can tell me later. But Jesus wants them to deal with the problem they have, and he's always wanting to take us to a higher place. Are you willing to walk with Jesus? If you would have been Peter, would you have replied? If you'd have been Thomas, would you have been honest and say, I can't get past this. I got to see it and I got to touch it. At least he was honest. And when Jesus showed up, he believed. Are you willing to let Jesus take you where he needs to take you so that you can conquer the things that you need to conquer? Are you always going to stay where you're at? Don't stay where you're at as a Christian. Part of being a Christian is to conquer the things that need to be conquered and move forward. Move forward, Russell. Okay, we'll move forward. The second thing, don't hide, go. Jesus takes them, and some of them still believe, or some of them still doubt, and Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority is whose right now? Jesus's. How come some people want to take his? He's got all authority. If he's got all, we got none, right? And he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which means in the possession of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. Now, I don't need to tell you that 95% of people have never brought another person to the Lord. You've heard that statistic. I could statistically talk about the 7 billion people above that on the planet and how many people are lost. But the bottom line is there's more lost people in the world than save people. And Jesus doesn't say, get those people to the church building. He doesn't tell the world, go to the church building so that you can be baptized and learn to observe all things. Is anything wrong with inviting people to the church building? No, keep doing that. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus says, go into the world. Do you want to know a statistic? I've never said this before. Brand new. Lifeway came up with some statistics. If you ask people that are unchurched, 66% of them will say, I am not going to a church building. I'm not going. So guess what that means? We got to go. 79% of those people say, I'm not going to go to a church, but if I know somebody, especially a friend, that their faith is important to them, I will talk to them about their faith. Wow. 79% of people out there in the world, if you take your faith seriously, they would be willing to talk to you about your faith. Guess where the answer is? Personal evangelism. Friendship evangelism. People, did you know that? Satan has got so many of us convinced that the world doesn't want to hear about our faith. But the world is telling us, if your faith is real to you, if you're real about it, I don't want you fake people. I don't want hypocritical people. I want people who don't just go to church but have Jesus in them. I want to talk to those people. People will gravitate to us. To me, that's pretty profound, isn't it? We got a world, there's a world out there that wants to talk to us about our faith. They're receptive to it. Guess what? We got to go. We got to talk. Take people to lunch and sit with them and talk to them. But know this, Don't believe the lie that Satan's got into a lot of our heads that the world doesn't want to hear it. Because many of us say, I don't want to preach to people. I don't want to be overbearing with people. I don't want to seem like I'm shoving it down their throat. Well, don't do that. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. Don't be a knothead. Just be real with people. But they want to know about your faith. Because you're pretty odd when they look at you. The stuff you do. I mean, we different, right? Are we different? If we're not different, then there's a problem. Because your faith really isn't real. I want this church full of people. I pray for the day that we're 200, 250, we have to build new stuff. I want that for this church. But I don't want any of that if Jesus isn't in the people that are in this church. Because this isn't, the building is not the church. We are the church. But Jesus needs to be inside of us. And if Jesus is inside of us, we're going to go out there. We didn't get to take a mission trip last year. We're not getting to go this year because of this pandemic. But God's provided some opportunities for us to be online, and there are people that we're reaching. You know, just start with sometime in the afternoon on Sunday. Go to YouTube on our website and put a like on there. More people that Google will connect. You want to start with something simple? Start there. Because there's some people out there in the world wondering about our faith, and they're watching. But we can't go to Dominica this summer, but we can go to Hitchcock, and we can go to Santa Fe, and we can go to Alvin, and we can go other places. We need to get up and get busy because there's people that will talk to us. That's good news, isn't it? Amen, lights. Then we have the ascension. Jesus, if you look in this account, it's going to say Bethany. If you look in Acts chapter 1, it's going to be in the Mount of Olives. They're real close together. And that's where Jesus is with His disciples. And Jesus is fixing to ascend into heaven. And this is a pretty cool text. And He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while He blessed them that He was parted from them and carried into heaven. And they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God, praising and blessing God. Amen. So we get this picture. Jesus blesses them. He gives them His blessing. The Holy Spirit's fixing to come and He ascends into heaven. And they worship Him. And they don't go back into hiding. They go in Jerusalem. They're in the temple. They're praising God together. And when I first looked at this, I was thinking about some cool preaching point about, you know, look up. And I was doing all this. And in Acts chapter 1, it tells us the angels say, what are you doing looking up into heaven? What are you doing looking up? You need to move on. Don't hide. But what do they do? They have joy inside of them because Jesus has come and taken them from zero to where they need to be. Jesus has given them a purpose. Jesus has given them a promise that the Holy Spirit's coming. Jesus has just gone into heaven and His angels have told them the same way He's gone up, He's coming back. And they're all fired up and there's this joy inside of them and they're continually praising God, applauding God, blessing God, and everybody around them sees it. When I was a kid growing up, there was a man in our congregation who had been a police officer, had actually been called out to a robbery, and he shot at the robbers, and his bullet ricocheted off a tank and hit a man that was there, a preacher, a good friend of his, and he died. And he got out of law enforcement and he became a construction guy and he built stuff and did a lot of concrete work. And when I was in high school, I worked for him. And every job we were on, he was always singing church songs. It didn't matter where we were. We were in a grocery store one time doing some concrete work and he was singing hymns. And he had this great joy about him. You just wanted to be around him. But he had gone through a lot of difficult, tragic, hard stuff. And there was a lot of difficult stuff in his family life with addiction and stuff like that. But he chose the path of joy. And he was always rejoicing. If you were around him, you felt joy because he made that choice. We need to choose joy. We can be sad. We can be depressed. We can be anxious. But we're not going to affect the world we live in like we should unless they see our joy, that settled assurance that God is in control. Where's your joy? Let it be whatever you got to do to become more joyful. Understand what that means and what gives me joy. Finding lost nuts, remember that? And bringing them to Jesus, that gives me joy. The fact that Jesus died on the cross for me gives me joy. The fact that I'm going to go to heaven gives me joy. The fact that Jesus is coming a day sooner than he was yesterday, that gives me joy. Get in the grip of joy. Don't hide. Rejoice. The cross gives meaning to life. Now, we started off with a player that missed first base. June 26th, 2001. Jason Kendall got up to bat for Pittsburgh. Hit the ball, ran toward first base. It should have been Ty Ghost of the runner, but they called him out. Lloyd McClendon, the manager, had already suffered one of these close calls, and so he runs out and argues with the umpire, and he's kicking the dirt, and he's stomping around, and he gets ejected. So he picks up first base, and he walks off the field. He puts it in the dugout, throws it down. Bat boy throws a pirate's hat on top of the spike or stem or whatever they, I don't know what they call those things that stick in the ground. Stems? Base? Spike? Nobody wants to commit? All right. And later they mount it on the wall in the locker room. Fans are all shouting and everything. Well, he took the base off the field, and everybody remembers that moment, but it wasn't but a few seconds after that base went off the field that an employee, the groundskeeper, comes out with another base and puts it down. The game's got to go on. The sad reality is some people keep trying to pick up the base and take it to the dugout. But as long as this word is God's word, the base is still there. To be a conqueror, to be a goer, to be someone who's in joy. People can say, you know what? I'm really not a teacher. I don't think that the Great Commission applies to me. I don't think I have to go. Did you know that over 50% of people pray to be more evangelistic, but over 50% of the people have not reached out to anyone in the last 6 months? Does it apply to me or not? Well, I'll take the conquer part. I want to conquer the things that are wrong with me. I'll take the joy part. I want to be joyful. But sharing my faith, I'll just pray about it and let my light shine. Is that what this says? Go tell. Talk. You can't just walk. You got to talk. But we've gone through decade after decade after decade since the 1940s when we were the fastest growing movement in America to believe in lies that Satan has told us to get us to quiet down instead of speak up. Do it in the right way. Do it with the right spirit. Don't skip any bases. Conquer. Go. Rejoice. How have you responded to the cross? God so loved the world that He gave His Son that whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. Have you responded by believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized? If you haven't, take that step today. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Don't skip any bases as we sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, I'll follow Him. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a one as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man, the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face while His dear cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt mine eyes to tears. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received. drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Russell talked in topic two about go. That scripture was from Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This morning, I want us to think about verse 19 of that group because it speaks to us as living Christians. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now watch the following. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The part about teaching everything to obey. One of the ways that we keep our faith and keep our strength is by remembering on the first day of the week about what the importance of the Lord's Supper is. He chose two items, unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, as a memorial. And this morning, as we take of that, it's part of this growth that we've had to come together every week to strengthen each other and to strengthen ourselves by the fellowship. So as we think about the bread, let us have this prayer. Father, it is so good that you have given us the hope that you have, the joy that you've given us. We pray, Lord, that you will be with us this morning as we remember that Jesus suffered so greatly, and before that he offered a way for us to remember on a weekly basis and to evaluate our lives and to help us to do things that we know are the right things to do. We're thankful for the bread that is symbolic of his body. As we take of it this morning, help us to remember him and to look at our own eyes through the mirror of our lives and make sure that we are obeying all things that he asks us to do. These things we ask in your name. Amen. Let us pray once more. As we continue our thanks, Father, we remember that blood was shed on that terrible day. But the shedding of that blood gives us hope. It gives us a promise. We pray, Lord, that as we drink of this cup, that we will do so very solemnly and very thankfully, that we will know of the hope and the promise that he's given us. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
so real quick, if you'll take a card from wherever they're being stored right now. Are they in the pew in front of you? I didn't notice last week. Yeah, in the pew in front of you. If you take a card in the pew in front of you, fill it out, pass it to the inside out. Nico Martinez is going to gather those up right now. Or Jacob Hodge, I guess. I don't know. Okay. I see. Okay, okay. Yes, they'll be picked up very soon. On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They hymned their king in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sword or flame for truth or Jesus' lovely name. Shout victory now and hail the Lamb, and bow before the great I Am, and bow before the great I Am. While everlasting ages roll, eternal love shall feast their soul, and scenes of bliss forever new rise in succession to their view. Rise in succession to
would you pray with me now as we offer a prayer of thanksgiving for the offering and for the dismissal of the online service. Our Father and our God, we're grateful to you for this day, and especially, Father, for the way that you bless our lives. Pray that you would bless our giving this morning. We're thankful to you for our homes, our jobs, our means of support. Pray that you would be with our leadership, and pray that they would use those monies wisely, and that we might enlarge your kingdom in this place. Father, as we begin this new week, we would ask that you would be by our side. Keep us close to you. Forgive us of our sins. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.